Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Hussein to the show where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, mindset, and high performance. So Hussein is a high performance mindset coach who takes business owners to the next level. So welcome to the show today, Hussein. Great to have you.
Hey, Johnny. Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. I've seen, we haven't connected properly yet, and I know you've got a lot of value you give other people. So I know the listener's going to get a ton of value and actionable information they can take away today. So I'm looking forward to the conversation. So my first thing I really wanted to kind of ask you about really is obviously you're in this area of high performance and helping people with that, particularly business owners. What got you into this area? Was it like a curiosity about what gets humans to perform at their highest ability? Or was it perhaps a case of you were challenged by actually being productive and being able to be at your best at some points of your life? Just be useful to hear a little bit about your story of what got you into this whole area.
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. So I'll take you back all the way to when I was 15. And I remember being in school and I remember looking around me. My father owned a business. And, you know, I knew a lot of people. I saw the teachers. I saw everybody around me. And I thought, there has to be more to life. So I remember Googling, funny enough, how to be happy. And literally, I jumped, like there was a YouTube video there. I clicked on it and I heard this guy speaking. And he started talking about these things called six human needs. And his name was Tony Robbins. Most of you know him. And I just remember these things, like these six human needs just clicked for me, right? So I wish that was the moment where it all kind of unlocked itself. But what I did then, I was like, okay, well, who is this guy, firstly? And secondly, what does he do? And I want to do what he does. So I started like going down the Google rabbit hole and then I found out about results coaching. And then I looked at the role itself and it said, well, you have to live in California. Now firstly, I was 15. So even if I did live in California, I don't think I would have got the job. But fast forward now. So I finished school, finished college. And actually, I was going down an athlete's route. So I really wanted to be a kickboxer. And then I had a few injuries. And then I just thought, well, I had an injury. That's it. It's done for me. But then I ended up finding my way into the construction industry. And I kind of forgot everything about, you know, Tony Robbins, six human needs. Although in the back of my mind somewhere, it did exist. But then I started doing really well in the construction industry. I went from an average kind of plumber. And then I started getting promoted and promoted and promoted. And by the end of it, I had like a higher role working on the tunneling industry. So it wasn't just average construction anymore, it was the tunneling industry. And I was really unhappy. And there was this thing. The more unhappy I got, the more pay rises I got, the more promotions I got. And then for a short time, I'll get excited and yeah, this is great. Got more money, can do more things. But then I ended up spending all these pay rises on holidays because I was so unfulfilled and I just kept thinking there's got to be more to life. And then, you know, this is from 2012 to 2017. This question just kept going around in my head and I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll try accounting. Maybe I'll try construction management. Maybe I'll try an office job. And well, now I know life was happening for me. I never got any of those trainee positions that I was applying for because I never had, you know, those admin experience. And then some stuff happened in 2017. And I just thought, you know what, if I don't quit this job, then, well, it's going to be never. So I literally just went abroad. And I actually went to Lebanon, where I'm from, and I also went to Dubai. And I just remember thinking, okay, I've taken myself out of this rat race or this box. So now I was able to kind of like see like, whoa, like, I'm really in the box. I can't see beyond it because every time I want to see beyond it, all I can see is the walls. So I started seeing, okay, well, I don't know what I want to do. I 100%, 1000% know I don't want to be in construction anymore. So honestly, for the next 6 months, I did absolutely nothing. Not nothing, because I also had a business in the background that I was helping operate. But I wasn't kind of looking anymore like with neediness, like, oh, I need something. So I just started kind of like relaxing. Bob Proctor talks about relaxing. I don't know how familiar you are with Bob Proctor. He just says relax. So I relaxed, right? And then one day I'm on Instagram. It's like 1 a.m. in the UK. And well, at this time, I'd never had social media. So I didn't know there was Facebook ads and Instagram ads. I see an ad from the main man himself, Tony Robbins. And it was talking about a launch for a program. Now I know it as the KBB, but in that moment, I just thought it was free Tony Robbins time. He's doing this masterclass. I want to watch it. I didn't have a clue about, you know, people make pitches at the end of their masterclasses. So I'm watching Tony. He's on there with Dean. Then they make a pitch for this $2,000 program. And it's like I had $2,000 in my program, but I wasn't employed at this point and I wasn't making consistent income. So I really thought, firstly, I don't even know what the knowledge industry is. Secondly, is like, I want to pay for anything that Tony does. So then what happened was, I didn't do nothing, but I kept getting emails. But I didn't know, again, about email marketing. So I didn't know that these were automated emails. So I just thought these were personal emails, Dean saying, hey, Hussein, I really want you to join. And then, you know what? I got an email and he said, look, last chance. And I just bought it. I didn't even know what it was, so I bought it. And I thought this was going to be the thing that, you know, unlocks everything. And then I fell down a rabbit hole of just understanding, why do some people succeed in these programs? Why don't they succeed? I started falling down the rabbit hole of, okay, well, relationships are, you know, some people have amazing relationships, some people don't. Because in this program, everyone's talking about their niche. So there's relationship niches, money niches, health niches. And then all of a sudden, it kind of reignited this 15-year-old question of how do people become happy, but on a professional scale. Like, I want to solve this now. I don't want to just be the person asking the question. I want to be the person facilitating this. And then I started, you know, studying, and I read book after book because I didn't have like a full-time job. So all I had to do was this. Like, I started listening to programs, signing up to courses, reading books, listening to podcasts. And then I became good at it. You know, it's people started saying, hey, you know, thanks, you really helped me. I was like, did I really? And then I thought, well, I'm starting to kind of get a grasp on human behavior, and I'm still not a master of it. I don't think anyone is, but I'm starting to understand different human behaviors, different patterns from different schools of thought.
Wow. And what year was that?
When you came across November 2017, where it kind of all collapsed for it to start to come back up. So in 2017, I just quit everything.
Ah, got you. And then you came across KBB.
That's the program, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowledge Broker Blueprint.
Yeah, remember that one. Okay, no, that's... No, thank you for that story. That's fascinating. It's just, you know, not necessary, not settling for being unfulfilled in a role and actually looking at possible options. And then it sounds like it started raising you a lot of questions in your head, and you just kept following them and just being able to see that way. Now, we were talking a little bit about, and linked to that, with all these like niches in KBB and all this information out there, the knowledge industry. There's a lot of information out there and it can confuse us, right? Sometimes, because one person says this, one person says that, like Tony might say something, another thought leader who's equally as credible might say something different. We get a bit confused. Now, we were talking a little bit and you mentioned the more you learn, the less you know. Could you just touch on that a little bit for us and what you mean by that?
That's a really great question, because here's the thing. There's this presupposition by the majority of the population in the world that we don't know, and we must go out and find information, strategies, tactics. And every time we go out and find this new strategy, this new tactic, we believe, well, this didn't work, so there must be another shiny tactic somewhere that does work. And we end up in this loop. And ultimately, what's really happening is we're chasing safety. Because if you think about now your brain, you know, the way the human brain is designed, it's designed to keep you safe. Your mind is designed to keep you safe. It's not designed to make you happy and successful and, you know, chase all these things that are uncomfortable for you, but are really kind of long-term pleasure, right? So the goal of the brain or the mind is short-term pleasure. I'm safe today so that I don't have to kind of fight the saber-toothed tiger. So what we're doing is we're always going, well, I need to know. And I'll buy a book, most people don't even read it, but those who do go, well, I didn't really succeed as a result of this book, so I'll go and find another course or another book or another coach. Because the doing part, the bit where you take action, you move forward, right? You know, you learn something, you apply it. Well, that's scary, right? That's the uncomfortable, that's the unknown, and that's painful. Because let's say now I go out and take action and it doesn't work. Well, now I have to confront the fact that it didn't work. Whereas if I always go, well, I'm going to be safe by learning more, signing up for a new program, I never have to actually look myself in the mirror and go, I actually did take action and it didn't work. So I always remain safe and I always have that excuse, that story that, well, it would have worked if I had really applied myself. Same thing, same reason with people that, you know, make it very basic, very simple. If any of the listeners have been to uni or they had any coursework that was due, you often know that they saved themselves to the last night and pulled it all night to complete the coursework. And usually if they don't get an average grade or a good grade, well, what do you know? They go, well, I could have done better if I had more time. I just started too late. Now, to a conscious mind, that's a decent excuse, right? It's a decent story. But if you dig deep into it, and there's a book called Procrastination, it actually highlights the fact that that's actually an unconscious move on the mind to stay safe, right? It's the unconscious move to go, well, I could have done better. I could have won, you know, I'm going back to my athlete career. I could have won that fight. Well, I could have done a better job. I could have made more money. I could have become this. But never had time, or but I couldn't find the right coach. So we're always kind of like addicted to knowledge. That's why you have these serial course consumers, right? You can tell them, hey, have you heard of this course? Yeah, I got it. You heard of that course? Yeah, I got it. How much of it did you apply? No, I just need this one more course and then I'm going to apply it, right? And then you go, oh, okay, so just one more course, then you can apply it. And then they buy that course. And again, they go, this other thing was missing. So the goal is, everybody wants to stay safe. And that's what your brain and your mind is created to do, whether it's in business or whether it's just in your life. Like, it's the same thing. If you go talk to a pretty girl, it's not the most comfortable thing to do.
Nah.
So what does your brain say? If I was dressed correctly, if I had a haircut, whereas in reality, we both know that that doesn't matter, right? The action is what matters. And what we do is we try and talk ourselves, we create stories to talk ourselves out of action and into more knowing, into more kind of information. And then we end up with information overload, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can relate to the talking to the girl one in my earlier 20s as well. It's like, well, I better go and read some more books before I start talking to them. Yeah, so, you know, how much BS that comes up. And then as you move through your 20s, you actually make the effort, like, wow, that was scary. But when you push yourself through stuff, I think skydiving and things like that definitely helped me walking on fire. But yet, like in various areas of life, when you do something that's terrifying, that's when I don't know if you find it, but that's when you feel really alive, even when it's terrifying.
Yeah, I went skydiving.
Wow.
It was an interesting experience, because the night before, your stomach's really cramped, and this is what I'm saying, like consciously, you know you're going to be okay. You know, thousands of people have done it. You've seen the videos on Instagram, on YouTube. Like, you're telling yourself, hey, it's going to be okay. Everybody does it, right? This company is probably going to drop loads of people that day. But here's the thing. You know what? Let me give you an analogy. Let me give an analogy that will really land home, right? Think of an elephant. And one of my coaches told me this. Think of an elephant. And on that elephant, there's this rider, right? And the rider is the handler. He's controlling the elephant. So the handler takes the elephant left, the elephant goes left, takes him right, he goes right, takes him ahead, he goes ahead, he says stop, he goes step, stop. And that's your conscious mind, right? The handler of this elephant. But we both know this elephant is so strong, so powerful, so big, that if the elephant wants to go wherever it wants to go, it doesn't matter what the handler thinks. It's going to go wherever it wants to go. Now, the elephant is your unconscious mind. And if your unconscious mind, the elephant, wants to go somewhere because it hasn't been trained yet, it's going to go wherever it wants to go. Meaning it's going to sleep in, meaning it's going to procrastinate, meaning it's going to, you know, distract itself, watch Netflix. It's going to do whatever it wants to do. Now, unless you get those two aligned, And when you get those two aligned, everything changes. And you got to think of it this way, like, especially if we're talking about goals and if we're talking about achievement. The rider of the elephant, well, that's your conscious mind, but that is the goal setter, the person that sets the goal. That's why we're all good at setting goals, right?
Hmm.
But the elephant, your unconscious mind, well, that's the goal getter. That's the person that actually, after all the excitement's done, after all the, you know, the idea of the joy of the idea that you come up with, after all that's done, that's the part of you that goes and gets, achieves the goal. That's the person that breaks through the plateau. In other words, that's the master in you. So there's the three levels of mastery.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. So I'm glad you bring up the mastery levels now.
Yeah, brilliant. So I'll just explain it to the listeners and the viewers. There are three levels of mastery. Not many people have heard of them. And most people think that it's the intellectual mastery, emotional mastery, and physical mastery. And those are absolutely fantastic. But there's these other three levels of mastery by a man called George Leonard in the book Mastery. And he talks about these three different types of people. And person number one, and I'll start from the bottom up. Person number one, to me, is the hacker. The person that, you know, life is terrible. Their relationship is terrible. They're overweight. They've got no money in the bank account. They can't remember the last time they had fun. Life's just terrible, but they're hacking everything. They always tell themselves, oh, it'll be all right. Yeah, one day it'll be okay. The worst one is when they start saying, well, it's just destiny. You know, the universe wants this for me. God wants this for me. So they're just hacking everything. So that's like lowest level of mastery, because you're just like, you're not moving at all. Now, the second level of mastery, which is better than level one, but still not the best, but it's better than level one, is this person, which we're going to call the dabbler. The dabbler is the person that gets really excited. Hey, there's this new course. I'm going to sign up for it. Hey, there's this new topic. Hey, I've recently started playing the guitar. And what happens with the dabbler is they get very excited at the beginning. At the beginning, they're like super excited. You think, whoa, we're looking at the next Elon Musk, you know, when they're presenting you with a business idea or an endeavor that they're going to go down. You think, this person's got so much passion, there's no way they're not going to succeed. But what happens with the dabbler is, like anything, they start something and they're getting really excited. They've bought the course. These are the people that buy all the gym gear. Like, you know, they bought the best gym gear, the best trainers, and they're really excited. They're really excited. They signed up for the best gym, and then they hit a plateau. Now, this plateau is very normal if you think about, like, the way that things go. Usually, like, everything has to go up, and then you have to drop a bit. It's called the training effect. And then as a result of the training effect, you drop a bit, and then you do more training, you go back up. So they hit this plateau. And to them, because they're like, well, it's getting hard. Well, I've got to lift these weights. Oh, my God, I have to sweat. Or if they're in a relationship, it's like, this person, they're not giving me everything that I want. So because they're dabblers, what happens is they hit this plateau, and instead of breaking through the plateau, they usually bounce back down. And then when they come back down, they find this other idea, and they get excited again. It's like, oh, yeah, I found this new thing. Then they go back up. And again, this going back up period could take a week, could be a day, could be a month. But what happens is they hit this plateau, and they hit the plateau again, and they drop once again. And they never really break through this plateau. They just dabble. You know, like, what's that saying? I can't remember exactly. Something like, the jack of all trades, but there's this other one, like
master of none.
Master of none. That's the one. Now, the best level is mastery is the master. The master is the person that, quite frankly, they get into things. So, now in order to explain this to you, I have to explain something about intentions. So, stay with me. So, this is what makes a master, right? So, I've got to explain to you the levels of intention. So, anything you encounter, and actually we can incorporate this to the dabbler as well. So anything you encounter, you usually have an intention. You approach things with an intention to say, well, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to win. And most people do really have that level of intention of I'm going to win. I'm going to succeed. But they just don't have an intention that I'm going to succeed and finish it with no matter what. Right? So, the three levels of intention, very quickly, just so I can explain to you the mastery piece, is, well, there's three levels of mastery. One of them is where you have an intention to prove somebody else wrong, or it's usually a revenge type of intention. I want to beat this other person. I want to prove this person wrong. And that's usually called a counter-intention, where you're just really there to prove something wrong or prove yourself wrong, that it didn't work. You know, I bought this course, but this coach was rubbish. It had nothing to do with me. I'm perfect. Or I listened to this podcast and this person wasted an hour of my time. I knew they didn't know what they were talking about. I just listened to it anyway. Oh, you know, I tried to get into this relationship and I tried to work on it, but the other person couldn't, you know, work on it themselves. So usually there's a counter-intention. So the second level of intention, which is better than the first, is where you have no intention. And this is where the dabbler comes in. The dabbler really has no intention. Like, they have nothing to lose, nothing to gain. They're just like impartial. I'll join the gym, I'll buy some amazing clothes. And if I don't lose the weight, oh, well, I've at least got some good clothes. So they have no intention. So they're like good either way, good or bad, whatever it is, I'm just joining. Now the master has a full intention, and that's the best level of intention. The full intention is, I know I'm starting a business. And I know that 96% of businesses close down in a 5-year period. So I'm aware of that. And I'm starting a business and I'm going to decide my intentions. I will succeed no matter what. I understand that in one day, I'm going to have a leads problem. The next, I'm going to have a client delivery systems problem. The next, I'm going to have a sales conversion problem. I understand that I'm going to come across challenges, but I have a full intention to succeed. So that's the highest level of intention, which we all want to strive for. Whenever we get into anything, we want to have a full intention to succeed. So now coming back to the master, that's the master. The master and the dabbler differ in one way. This is the master. They're going again. It could take a day, 3 days, 5 days, a month. They're going and they're excited. They've started a new business. They're happy. And then boom, they hit that plateau. And instead of the master going, oh, I hit a plateau, this must mean I'm not enough, or I can't win, or this is not for me, why did I branch out, I should have just stayed in my 9-to-5 or whatever it is, they say, amazing, I've hit a plateau, means my threshold of control is now expanding, I'm going to learn something new, and instead of trying to go and buy a course to learn something new, now I'm going to figure it out on the way down, I'm going to jump off this cliff or jump off the plane, I'm going to figure this shit out. And because of their just level of intention, the full intention to succeed, what happens is they break through that plateau. And now what happens? Well, it doesn't mean that there's no more plateaus ever, but they're on the next level now. So they're like here. And to them now, this is like their ground. This is their safety. And then they're going again, they're going again, they're going again, and boom, plateau again. And they go, oh my God, another challenge. It must mean I'm doing something good. And they break through. And you keep hitting plateaus and you keep breaking through them. And that's where we all want to strive, to be a master. So that's like, to loop this back to the knowing and doing, the dabbler is just all about knowing. They want to know everything that can be known about something, but they never really want to break through that plateau. The doer is the person that's actually doing the work. The person that understands it's not meant to be easy. They're going to come across challenges. And finally, the master is not the person that says, I want to be a millionaire. And when I'm a millionaire, I'll do the work. And then when I do the work, I'll become that million. You know, when I have the million in my account, then I'll do the work. And then finally, I'll become a millionaire. The master is the person that says, you know what? I understand that the level of the paradigm that I'm at today, the level of consciousness that I have today, the level of the elephant, my elephant today is not trained. If I'm currently a hundredaire, which is like, hey, I got $100, woohoo, I'm going to have to kind of level up. I'm going to have to become this millionaire by, you know, whether it's modeling somebody else, getting into closer proximity with other people, changing my focus, whether it's changing my environment. I'm going to have to become this person, think like this person, behave like this person, start to set rules, values, and standards like this person. And then as a result, not just become that person, because you can become that person and just sit at home and just be like a great thinking millionaire with no money. The next thing is to do the work that these millionaires do, or people that have million-dollar businesses or million-dollar ventures. And then you'll have the $1 million in your account. And it won't be a surprise. It won't be a coincidence. How many people do you know or do you hear of? They won the lottery. They made the million. They lost it because they were never the millionaire. They were never being the millionaire. They never did the millionaire work. So they were never really the millionaire. They just had $1 million by luck and they lost it. So I hope that was some value right there.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, love the being. And one thing I just want to touch on before we sort of like wrap up, out of there's so many points could touch on, but like when we get to that plateau, right, and you talk about obviously the Masters going through it no matter what, whilst the dabbler and the dabbler or below would just basically, the hacker might just, the quit. Obviously, the dabbler's going to stop. Some of those excuses, I just want to come back to what you said earlier, they can sound quite consciously logical, right? Like, this isn't for me, or maybe I'll find something else. But what you're saying is unconsciously there's something going on in the background that they want to find safety again.
Awesome, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've got enough time, just because I know you want to wrap up soon, to go really deep into this, but there's something called the age of wounding. Like, if we're really going to go to the deepest depth of this, I don't want to just give you a shallow answer. But for any of the listeners or the people that are viewing this, if they really want to like dig deep into this unconscious stuff, it's the most non-business, non-performance, non-achievement book that's going to create 10x in your business, in your performance, in your achievement. It's called The Healing Your Lost Inner Child by a man called Robert Jackman. Actually, I've got the book here somewhere. Oh, here he is. Look, I had it.
I love it.
If someone's viewing this on a video platform, they can see it. It's Healing Your Lost Inner Child. So, but I do want to give you an answer. So here's the thing. At the beginning, it's really, like I said, environment, right? The environment that you're in. If you're in an environment where everybody says, hey, well, rich people are thieves. That's the only way they became rich. Or you were raised to say, you know, every penny counts. Or whatever those stories that you heard growing up. Naturally, whether you consciously or not consciously now agree with those have an effect on you, right? Like, for example, certain people were raised to only buy supermarket value products, like, you know, ketchup from Tesco. Heinz, don't do that. It's a waste of money. It's all made in the same factory anyway. Do you know what I mean? So unconsciously, you build all these beliefs. And then what happens is now you want to branch out because, you know, you met some new people, you watched the video, and you're like, well, if this person can do it, I can do it. But what's really holding you back is all of these unconscious beliefs around what you believe is right, what you believe is wrong, what you think is possible, what's not possible. And also, this is a very important one, who do I have to become to reach that level of success? So, for example, if you were raised and everyone said, hey, anyone who's rich either stole it or conned somebody. Now you want to start a business and you have consciously pure intentions. But every time you make a sale, you just feel guilty. Like you think, oh man, I think I'm, you know, I feel bad for these people. It takes a lot of work to go, ah, that's what it is. Like I unconsciously believe the more I succeed, the more that there's some sort of, you know, conning going on or some sort of scam that's going on and I'm scamming people and all of this. But like consciously, that doesn't make sense. You're like, oh, I'm not a scam artist. I'm a noble person. I'm supplying a pure service. But it's all these unconscious beliefs that you had, these stories that you created, and you didn't create them, just for clarification's sake. They were created because of your environment. They were created because of, you know, who you spent time with. That's why people say proximity is power. You know, who do you hang around with? Naturally, you're going to pick up those things. Even in the book, Think and Grow Rich. Was it Think and Grow Rich? Or I think it was The Magic of Believing. It might be Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about if you're in a supermarket, three aisles down, someone is saying something limiting, even though you can't hear it. I don't want to misparaphrase this, but he says something that even if you can't consciously hear it or you're not consciously listening to it, it's sinking in to your unconscious mind. So now you think about if you live in a certain area and that's that level of living in that whole area in your country or in your city, and that's all you hear, right? You know, friends, family telling you that what you're doing is a mess or it's not right. And at the beginning, when I started coaching, a lot of people didn't understand what it was. So they're like, so you get paid to just chat shit to people. Forgive my French. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on this.
No, that's fine.
That's where, like, because I still kept in contact with people from a construction site. And even one of my good friends from construction now, he just says, hey, how's the, I can't remember what he says. He's like, how's the talking business going? He doesn't really get it because to him, it's like, why would anyone pay someone to reach their goals? You just do it yourself. But they don't kind of align with, well, a jar can't see its own label. So you need someone to kind of point out and say, hey, this is what's going on. So if you want to go really deep, go into that book, because of course we don't have that much time, but on the surface, if people really want to take anything away from this, get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. And on the left-hand side, write down current beliefs. And if you're talking about your business, then make it, you know, projected onto your business. What do I currently believe about business? The next one is, if it's your health, or if it's your podcast, or if it's your coaching business, or whatever it is, current beliefs. And just be honest, like, what do I currently believe about all of these things? Well, do I believe it's fair, it's not fair? Do I charge too much? Do I charge too little? And then on the right-hand side, you got to write down new belief. What do I need to believe? And instead of just writing the new belief as being the complete opposite, what you could do is just ask back to that be, do, have. Who do I need to be to actually succeed in this endeavor, in this business? And based on who you need to be, what do my beliefs need to become in order for me to become that person? And then if you want to get to the tangible, the action, what do I need to do in order to become that person? And now you're in motion, because motion is the antidote, right? Action is the antidote. So when you take an action, you're physically getting out of this old paradigm that you're in, because what's going to happen? It sounds really bad, but Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So the minute you start to become this person, it's not plain sailing, you know, back to the levels of mastery. You're going to dabble in it. You're going to hit a plateau, which means you're going to get hit in the face, as Mike Tyson would say. But now you've physically stretched, you've physically expanded your threshold of control. And now you're well on your way to becoming the person to take the action, to have the results in your business, in your life, in your health, your relationship, whatever it may be. I think we're right on time there.
That's brilliant. No, thank you. Thanks so much. We could go on speaking for ages. And I've been writing a ton of notes from you, Hussein. So thank you. Thank you so much. So where can the listener find you if they want to find out more about your work?
Awesome. So the easiest way is my website, HusseinYassin.com. But that is probably not the place where they're going to find the most value. If you want to get access to free trainings, free resources, there's my Instagram and my Facebook group. My Instagram is Hussein, HusseinBYassine, Hussein B. Yassin. My Facebook is just my name, Hussein Yassin. If you just click on that, you'll click on the banner. You can get to my Facebook group where I do weekly live trainings on business mindset specifically, not so much the strategy. But I do believe everything we need is within us. And whatever's not within us, we can go and find very easily. Strategies are easy. You can just Google them. So there's weekly trainings, but I don't like to call them mindset trainings, where they're just weekly trainings on getting people to move forward, to really unleash their potential, which is massive.
That's awesome. And we'll be sure to link those up in the show notes so the listener can access them very quickly. So once again, Hussein, a massive thank you for coming on and sharing such value with us today.
It's been my pleasure. I hope everyone got value. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure of mine.
Awesome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.